voice of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, friends, I am so excited to be with you on Wednesdays, but tonight I'm especially excited to be with you. In fact, young man Nick, ask me why I'm so excited tonight. Go ahead, ask me. I'm dying for you to ask me. Ask me.
Why are you so excited, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so glad you were so excited when you asked me. I am so excited because tonight we've got the OG of Wellness Night. Dr. Sapphire is back, and she's going to spend the back half of the show with us. And we've got Dr. Mark Siegel, the guy who hired her at Fox. So we are all stars all night tonight on Wellness Night at Radio Night Live. It's going to be a kicking show. And, friends, we're going to need it to be a kicking show because I'm reading today about two new variants for COVID that I know that once Fauci gets his hand on them, there's just not going to be a booster that he's not going to want to give you. So it's at the end of the day, we need to have actual doctors that have actually treated people telling us actual facts and data. So we're going to get a bunch of that from Dr. Mark Siegel and Dr. Nicole Sapphire, both the esteemed Fox News Medical All-Star Team, and then separately, Langone Medical Center for Dr. Siegel and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Centers for Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Great, great people, and I'm so excited that they're going to be with us. I want to start, you know, each night I'd like to kind of have, I like to start on an up note, right? But tonight I'm really burdened about something, and I feel like I've got to get it off my heart here. Because I was driving around yesterday afternoon and was taking the munchkins to hither and yon, et cetera. And little ankle biter Jonathan, he's starting up Taekwondo again. He's going to go for his blue high. That's a belt, in case you don't know. But he's going to aim for the blue high. And I was in between shuttling him to and from the Taekwondo dojo, and I had the radio on. And I'm surfing around, listening to different talk hosts across the country and across the tri-state area. And I caught a little snippet of a phone call, which turned out to be a voicemail message, I think, that somebody had taped. And it was a very sad story about a mom whose child evidently had a bad reaction to the COVID-19 vaccine. Not a small child, a grown adult child, I think. But then I was only in the car for like maybe 8 minutes. So I just heard a little snippet of this. And then I heard the host come on and say something about, you know, we must refuse mandates. And I'm all in favor of refusing mandates. I don't think mandates do anything for us. And I'm opposed to mandates. I want to be very clear about this. I don't think mandates are the constitutional way to go. I would oppose them relentlessly and have on air publicly to date. And then he said, and I will never, ever put the vaccine in my body. And I thought, you know, first of all, the affectation with the voice and stuff, like, you want to make your point. You say you're never going to take the vaccine. That's fine. You know that there's been like 15 talk show hosts, by the way, that have died saying they were never going to take the vaccine. I don't know. Like, I don't know why anybody would say that, because even if you're choosing not to do it, I'm not sure it does a great deal of help for your cause if you say you're not going to do it and then you croak. Like, and that's happened. There's been some significant personalities within talk radio. Local guy in Florida I knew really well, a big nationally syndicated guy out of Nashville that died. And that's what happened. But it spoke to something else in me. And I was sad about it. It made me sad to hear the kind of vitriol that was implied in the, I will never, ever, ever take the vaccine. You can't make me, and I will never. Because I don't know about you, but when I hear that, if I've taken the vaccine, which I didn't for a very, very long time, we had COVID, we got over it, we believed that natural immunity was the way to go, and then I got slated with a whole bunch of public appearance dates for the fall, and suddenly I was in places and having to go to places that I had at least had to have one shot. So I asked Dr. Siegel, I asked Dr. Sapphire, I said, we recovered fully, we had it, what do you recommend? And Dr. Siegel, I think he said it on this show, said, well, Kev, you know, if you're going to be in vaccine mandated territory, then, you know, just get the single the first Pfizer, and you're going to be golden, because you'll have been at least partially vaccinated, and you'll have natural immunity, and you'll have so much antibodies that, you know, it's not even going to be worrisome. So that's what I did. And I was never against the vaccine. I was grateful that Donald Trump worked so hard to get Warp Speed going so that we could get people protected against the disease. And as far as I can tell, we've given out, 350 million doses of the vaccine. And we've had, you know, less than 1% of the population, a lot less than 1% of those that have been infected have died from COVID-19. So if we're giving, and now life has opened up a lot, you can go out to eat, you can kind of live a normal life almost. My little guy still had to wear a mask to take his Taekwondo class, which is infuriating, but he was able to do it. But it's brought about a lot of good things for people across the country. Now, I'm not saying I want it in my kids, and I'm going to ask Dr. Sapphire about this later. I'm going to ask Dr. Siegel about it. We don't know the data on the kids. Dr. McCary told us last week we don't know anything about the efficacy for the kids, so we're not going to do that without knowledge. But here's my point. You've got two big camps, and this is sad because it's become political. So you have the Joe Biden camp, supposedly, which is all the people they're telling you to get vaccinated, and they're going to try to mandate it and force it into you. And then you've got, like, supposedly the pro-Trump people that are saying, oh, I'll die, you know, in the wilderness before I get a jab, and I won't go to anything, and I won't talk to anybody, and I'll never travel to New York City again, and I'll never do, like, this is the mindset. It somehow has become a political thing as to whether you got the jab or you didn't get the jab, instead of making it a science thing. And this is driving me nuts. And so I hear my fellow colleagues in talk radio, I will never, ever, you can't make me, and I will not. On one side, and then I've got my friends at church and some people in my bride's circle of friends that are all like, oh, you know, there's just no way we could ever get it. And then I turn on the TV, and it's like, you know, Biden's like, well, we're going to come take your kids and stick the needle in their neck. Friends, can we just do this? Can I just plead for peace? Can I plead for a little bit of grace on both sides? Like, don't judge me because I made an educated decision to get the single jab after I had COVID. And I won't judge you if you feel like for religious or medical or safety, or maybe you're trying to get pregnant or anything else reasons, that you don't want to get the shot either. Can we operate in a system of grace? By the way, if you don't get the shot and you get COVID, you're not going to make me sick because I'm all good. Can we just be nice? More humanity, please. Coming right back.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. 800-651-0798. Use that promo code JOEP or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code JOEP. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. 800-651-0798. 0798. Promo code Joe P.
Charlie Kirk believes we're seeing the decline of America.
Right now, there are hundreds of people that run your country, run our military, run our government, that are kind of like, what's the big deal if we lose? Who cares if it's humiliating? What's important is whether or not we get paid. What's important is whether or not my child goes to Harvard. I mean, we do that all the time. That's all we've done is lose over the last 30 years. And we get promoted while doing it.
The Charlie Kirk Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Ben Shapiro sees more overreaction from the left.
CNN reports today, quote, "A rock that students call a symbol of racism has been removed from University of Wisconsin. And now they spend, I kid you not, $50,000 to remove a 42-ton boulder for no reason other than apparently students of color at the University of Wisconsin are offended by a rock that is not racist because it's a rock that is not racist."
The Ben Shapiro Show, weeknights at 5 and 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Back to Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Thank you, Lonnie Perkins. Always fun on Wellness Night to get to talk to Fox News Medical All-Stars. And tonight, Dr. Mark Siegel batting leadoff for us. We've got a lot to get to in the next hour, and I hope that you stick around. But Dr. Siegel here on some of the breaking news. And Mark's book, of course, COVID, The Politics of Fear and the Power of Science. And I'm hopeful that everyone will get a copy because it separates fact from fiction regarding COVID-19 and a lot of the fear surrounding COVID-19 in particular. Dr. Siegel, some breaking news today. They're talking about some new variants in Kentucky and elsewhere. Have you seen the news reports? What do you make of these variants? And are we somewhat confident that the vaccine is still going to be effective, or are we going to have a whole nother scare like we did with Delta?
Well, the problem with Delta is that it's so easily transmissible. And until we see a variant emerge that's as contagious or easily transmissible, it's not going to outcompete Delta. And the nice thing about these vaccines is that they have multiple targets on the spike protein. And so even if you get some mutations that make them a little bit less in terms of coverage, we still get coverage.
Yeah, response.
And
to
so
it.
I'm not worried about any variant because the thing we do is we study them in the lab at first. And we can't tell until they start to be tested genetically around. We do genetic surveillance, and we're doing a lot more of that than we used to be doing. Otherwise, you can always look down the barrel of the gun in too far in advance. So we map them, we test them, and then we survey to see what emerges. I'm not trying to dodge the question. The answer is that I think Delta is going to be able to outcompete anything for a while because of how transmissible it is.
Okay. Well, that's important to take note of. All right, it's been a big week. The FDA last week, Dr. Siegel, came out and strongly said, we don't think that the third shot is necessary. What did you expect that? And do you think that that's going to be the kind of the end of the booster shot discussion, or is that going to continue?
I think that that's an ongoing discussion. I talked to Dr. Paul often about that today, and I think that that's an ongoing discussion. And we're going to end up with larger and larger groups getting the booster, because I think that there's mounting evidence that the effectiveness of the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine diminishes over time, at least in terms of mild infection. And there's probably a correlation between mild infection and transmitting it. So in other words, if you have a mild infection, you know, you could make the argument, well, you're not going to the hospital, but it means you have virus. And if you have virus, you can spread it to someone that's unvaccinated or doesn't have as good an immunity as you have. So I think that's enough of a reason to get a booster. I think starting over the age of 60 is where we should have started, the way they did in Israel and UK, not 65. But, you know, I don't really know where 65 came from. And I asked Dr. Offit that, too, and he's not sure where that number comes from. So I think we're going to end up with 60, and then we'll go down to 50 over time. And we certainly got to vaccinate healthcare workers with a third shot and anyone that's at high risk. So that's where we're heading. So the answer is yes, we're going to need boosters.
And do you know, how does that compare to people? Because I know that there's been emerging evidence in the natural immunity column, if you will. Like, we've got all these different things that provide the immunity now. What are we learning about the long form natural immunity from people that are post infection?
You mean long COVID?
Yeah, well, no, the people that had COVID a long time ago, but they're still showing antibodies when they get tested now.
I hate to say this, but that whole discussion has been mischaracterized in the media. And I wish I could say that we were completely immune to that. No pun intended. Let me tell you the truth about this.
Okay, go
Here's
ahead.
The truth about this. First of all, we don't want to focus on natural immunity as a topic too much, because it sends a message to people who haven't received the vaccine, I may not need the vaccine. That's not a good place to start, because who knows, people out there might say, well, I didn't have the antibodies tested, I think I had a flu last year, maybe that was COVID, maybe I don't need it. That all of that is wrong. Here's the truth about natural immunity. There's multiple coronaviruses in nature. Cold viruses, and there's four variety of them, they don't give you much immunity at all, and you end up being protected for a few months. And then before you know it, bang, you're back needing, you know, you're getting the same or a very similar strain again. SARS and MERS were two coronaviruses where you actually have a long-term immunity, and it looks like SARS lasts years. It's a huge leap, Kevin, to say because SARS lasts years, therefore this lasts for years. That's a dangerous mistake to make, because we just don't know where this is going to layer out. We know that in most cases, and we don't know all cases, in most cases with some variability, when you've had COVID, you get a legitimate amount of immunity for several months. Why do I say several months rather than several years? Because it's not been around several years.
Right.
Also, and this is the most important thing I'm going to say on this, when you take that COVID immunity, which we don't have a titer for, so I can't say, I mean, we check antibodies, but we don't have a real titer that will say, Kevin, you had COVID, you're over it, you're protected. We don't have that exact number, that magic number. But what we do know is that if we take someone who's had COVID and we give them a shot of an mRNA vaccine, their natural antibodies, their neutralizing antibodies, are 10 times approximately what they were before.
Yeah.
So I'm not a betting man, but if I had COVID, I would take at least one shot, because I know that with these variants emerging, and you just talked about the Kentucky one before, with these variants emerging, they're less susceptible to the immunity you do have, whether it's from COVID itself or from prior vaccines. So of course I want a cherry on top. Of course I want to cement that immunity. Of course I want a more durable immunity. It's really not, I don't agree with those people who say you have natural immunity, you're protected. I say if you have natural immunity, let's add at least one shot of a vaccine on top
of that. And to be candid, that's exactly why because of what you've just said, and you've said it on this show a couple of times, that's exactly the reason why my wife and I went ahead after recovering from COVID, got the Pfizer first jab, and we feel pretty good. We've had to be, you know, something weird happened on the calendar, Dr. Siegel, because after September 1st, I went from 18 months of no public appearances to like 7 in 10 days or something like that. And all of a sudden, I was really glad that I had done what we had done because it just it gave me a lot more confidence. Come back for just a few minutes with Dr. Mark Siegel left. There's a couple of other big stories I need to ask him about as it relates to the kids' boosters and shots as those have developed over the last week. Stay here.
It's Dr. Lederman talking about prostate cancer.
Your PSA went from 3 to 4 to 6.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden it jumped to 60.
It was a shock to me. That's when I called Radiosurgery New York. Your office is a whole nother world. You immediately took this whole thing into your own hands, beyond efficient.
Did you ever have a doubt that we weren't working for your benefit?
Not for one second.
And you knew that you had a cancer of the prostate that was aggressive and went to lymph nodes. And we put together a plan to try to get this terrible cancer under control, right?
It was just like you say, no pain, no cutting, no bleeding. It was so easy. No side effects, no nothing. Just perfect.
What was your PSA this week?
0.02.
Wow. For more prostate cancer information, call Dr. Lederman. 2 and 2 choices, 2 and 2 choices. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. 1384 Broadway.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM970TheAnswer.com.
From New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
All right, final few minutes with Dr. Mark Siegel, professor of medicine at NYU Langone. You also see him all over Fox News Channel as the kind of top doc there. And you hear him on Sirius XM. He has his own radio show there and author of the great book, COVID, The Politics of Fear and the Power of Science. And I'm so grateful he's carved out a few nights to be with us here at Radio Night Live. Dr. Siegel, we talked about the FDA, and I wanted to ask one more follow-up question to that. That was a unanimous decision by the FDA to not approve the boosters. You still think that they're going to come back and change that idea at some point?
It's an evolving situation. They're accumulating more data, and as they accumulate more data, they will make a decision how to expand it. That's what happened in the UK. That's what's going to happen here. We're going to start with 65 and above, which I think should be 60 and above, and then it's going to reach a point where it'll go to 60, it'll go to 50. Beyond that, it depends on the vaccine itself. One point I need to make on that, by the way, is that there is memory cells that you have in your body that when you've been vaccinated or when you had COVID, there's a memory cell sitting there in your bone marrow that says, uh-oh, here's that virus again. And then it starts remaking those antibodies that look like they're disappearing. That's why we think the vaccine will keep you out of the hospital for most people months and months and months down the line. So I'm being elegant about boosters, but it's not like you lose your protection to the vaccine. You're keeping most of it.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that. Dr. Siegel, there's a lot of discussion, and Pfizer has just kind of released, from what I understand, just kind of top-line data on the Pfizer shot for kids. First of all, it's not the same dose as the adult dose. Can you break it down for my listeners? What are they looking at in the Pfizer dosage, and how is it performing so far?
Well, the Pfizer dose is about one-third of the dose that you have with the adults. I like that number, but I don't have anything other than a press release. And I'm concerned that the FDA may march towards approving this without their advisory committee getting involved. It's only 2,200 kids. I'd like to see more, but you could make the argument, and I have made the argument, that COVID itself is really, really getting more and more worrisome to kids. So we want to have that tool.
The rhetoric seems to be, I don't know, getting into kind of hyper levels now on both sides, on the right and left, and they've almost politicized the shots to a degree that it's unrecognizable anymore. Do you think that we'll ever get to a point where we can live in a world where if you say, I can't get the vaccine for XYZ reasons, but they're personal to me, and I'm not going to I'm not going to judge other people because they do get them, and people that get vaccinated say, I'm not going to look down on you because you didn't get vaccinated. Can we live in a pluralistic society where the vaccinated and the unvaccinated can still come together and have a meeting of the minds? Or are we always going to have this divide going forward?
Yeah, this is the most important question you've ever asked me, but unfortunately, it's become a political question. I want to answer it in a different way that you might not like, Kevin. Will you bear with me?
Sure.
I don't like the question. I like that you asked it because it's the question everyone's asking, but I don't like it in a larger sense, the question. You know why? Because we've done a very poor job explaining what an infectious disease is here.
Huh.
That's where the politicization starts. What is an infectious disease? An infectious disease is something where you are putting another person at risk, not just yourself. Not like a mask works 10% of the time or 20% of the time, so, you know, how dare you tell my kid to wear it? No, 20% is an improvement. Now, I admit, I don't want the president doing this or the federal government doing this. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. Look, you could be an alcoholic, God forbid, and drink yourself under the table, but I don't want you behind the wheel of that car driving on the highway, because then you're putting other people at risk.
Right.
That's the same idea here. You want to smoke? Go ahead and smoke. But don't smoke in a public place, because then you're putting other people at risk. So everybody has to get vaccinated because it decreases the chances you're going to spread this thing to others. That, what we've been doing is messaging this on, oh, it'll keep you out of the hospital. Oh, your chances of dying are greater. But a person could say, I want to take that chance. And they have every right to take that chance if they want. They could say, I want to smoke. I want to take that chance. I'm not going to tell them not to. That's Big Brother. But I don't want them smoking in a room where they could affect other people. And I'm concerned about an infectious disease that spreads this easily. That's why I want everybody vaccinated. That's why I think a smart business owner will say that and say, if you want to work in my business or in my hospital, you know, you get vaccinated. Now, when you start extending that to schools, I want schools open. I think it's got to start with all teachers being vaccinated. I think it's so hypocritical for a teacher not vaccinated to be telling a kid to wear a mask. That's just ridiculous. But in the end, it's a public health tool to protect those around you.
All right. That is a great explanation, Dr. Siegel, and I appreciate you taking the time to answer it, because I feel like we need to ask those tougher, harder questions and get straight talk about it. So thanks for always bringing that with you when you're on.
Great pleasure. Great questions. Thank you.
You got it. COVID, the politics of fear and the power of science. It's his newest. It's his latest. Go get it. Know it. Coming up next, Dr. Nicole Saffire makes a repeat appearance here on Radio Night Live. We'll ask her some of the same things. Stay with us. It's Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later,
extortion 17 requesting permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Tagi Valley.
I saw a flash. You seen a flash? fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 1-7, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, vice chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best, period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher is watching a downward spiral.
He essentially said, the buck stops with me, and then blamed everybody else. It's Trump's fault. It's the Afghans' fault, Afghanistan people's fault. It's the Afghanistan military's fault. It's the weather. The dog ate his homework. My goodness, what a catastrophe. I don't know that we've ever seen a presidency collapse this soon.
The Mike Gallagher Show. Weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax. We would like to thank our Lord for protecting us from evil. Psalm 91 states, He is my refuge and my fortress, for He will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys who specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results.
We are also a small firm who will treat you like family and not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And one way we can achieve that is by being debt-free. So let us help you today. Call us at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS tax debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough, tonight at 7.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Ooh.
All right, Kevin McCullough has promised the OG herself, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, is back with us. And Dr. Sapphire, we always appreciate you taking the time. Very busy life that you lead, busy mom, successful author and television contributor, et cetera, but also a physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering and doing a great job on all things related to the health front. But I have to ask you a question, Nicole. I've been struggling with this for a couple of weeks, and I'm curious, because I think you're probably in a similar situation, how you've handled it personally. I have a ton of friends that have been vaccinated and are doing quite well. I have a handful of friends that have fears or concerns about their own health situation, interacting with the vaccine or maybe some of the vaccines, because I know that the vaccines are different. But they have been hesitant. And my concern has been that there has been this kind of division-driving chasm that has come between us as people, that sometimes the vaccinated people look at the unvaccinated and hold themselves in a little bit of a more morally superior vantage point. And my vaccinated friends sometimes look at the – or my unvaccinated friends look at the people that have had the vaccine as people that, you know, are – in some way misguided about things. And I am so exhausted from this debate because, you know, my bride and I had COVID. We have had the one Pfizer shot. We are in a kind of netherworld of having not gotten it for a long time, but then we did get it. And I'm curious, do you think that there are ramifications of the language, the divisive way this is being discussed in the media and other things that are going to lead to problems externally that really have nothing to do with COVID, but might have to do with tearing the fabric of the country apart? I'm curious your thoughts on that, Dr. Sapphire.
Well, Kevin, I mean, I wrote an entire book. The subtitle is Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID, for this exact reason. You know, this has played out throughout the entire pandemic, to people wearing masks, people not wearing masks, people sending their kids to school, not sending their kids to school. And now, from the top down, even the rhetoric that comes out of the White House and the governor's office, it essentially makes it seem as though if someone is choosing not to get vaccinated, that there's something wrong with them. And when you, as someone who speaks to patients every single day, you have, your role is to educate them, and then you give them access to whatever it is you're trying to educate them on. But ultimately, it is going to be their decision as to what they do. Hmm. As long as they know the risks and benefits of it, then that's all we can do. And to condemn them as though they are doing something morally apprehensible, well, is just further creating division in our country.
Yeah.
You know, people love to blame President Trump throughout his entire tenure for dividing the country. But in my opinion, I've never seen a country more divided. And I, at this point, believe that that is coming from our elite institutions, specifically the White House, in the way that they are dividing the country based on the decision to be vaccinated or not.
I was thinking about this just last night, as it seems so strange that President Trump was the one, through Operation Warp Speed, that got the vaccine to us. It was President Biden that said, don't trust it. And they campaigned on that. And then once the election took place, it kind of became that people that were perceived as being Trump's people, talk show hosts specifically, and we've had a number of them die, that said, I'm going to swear off the vaccine. I'm never going to get it. And I think it's, you know, basically evil if you do as well. And some of, like I said, some of those have passed away. But they were defenders of the president, and it's now the Biden administration that is worried, you know, racking its hand and brain saying we don't have enough people vaccinated. And I think when you point to the lack of trust in public policy, you can point no further than to the very, you know, process that we went through in that specific election that has created this bizarre kind of upside down world. And we don't have the trust in Dr. Fauci and a lot of the other top people at in the public offices.
Well, absolutely. And I actually touched on Denmark a little bit in panic attack, pre-vaccination. And what it was in the beginning, they told people, we have a respiratory virus. You're going to get this if you are essentially enclosed indoors with a lot of people. But they didn't shut things down. They didn't do mandates. They educated the people. And the people made decisions. While they didn't close restaurants, people chose to eat out a little bit more. They had more takeout food, but they didn't shutter everything. They gave people that choice. And I think that trust in the beginning was crucial. But something now post-vaccine that we have to acknowledge, when it comes to Denmark, more than 80% of people above the age of 12 are fully vaccinated.
Right.
In the United States, we're at about 64%. Now, that 16% may not seem like a big deal, but when you're talking about trying to get the country to a safe place of immunity, that 16% is a big deal. So perhaps if our vaccination rates were higher, we too would be able to do what Denmark is doing and ending its COVID restrictions. But because of the politicization, because of the polarization, we are having a difficult time getting Americans to trust these vaccines.
Can I piggyback on this for one more thought? And that is, Dr. McCary has been on the show a few times. One of the things he really talks about a lot is post-infection immunity. There are some European countries that have figured out how to, instead of produce a vaccine passport, give an antibody report. And wouldn't that be a more productive way of trying to, with I think less government intrusion, trying to create a safe public space and not force people into getting a jab that they may be opposed to, especially if we continue to see very good results in what natural immunity is bringing about?
Undoubtedly. And that, I think, is one of the biggest missteps of the United States government in the pandemic. And this is why they are losing trust, not just in the general population, but from public health experts, physicians like Dr. McCary and myself. Because as the data, I can tell you a year ago, while we thought natural immunity would be strong based on the original SARS-CoV-2, we had no idea. We had early studies showing that the antibodies may wane. So to say that people were completely immune when we didn't have the data, I mean, that's tricky. And I certainly didn't do that. But now we have robust data. We have had people who have recovered from COVID much longer than they have been vaccinated. So we know we are able to compare immunities. While we show, it does show that some of the immunity is waning following the vaccines, natural immunity is still being very strong. And just like the vaccines, natural immunity is preventing people from being hospitalized and dying if they are exposed to SARS-CoV-2.
Yeah.
So now you see, despite people yelling from the rooftops about this data, the U.S., CDC, Fauci, ET all have constantly ignored these things, and they have just pushed it under the rug. But now you hear them because so much data is coming out in the United States as well as outside of the United States that they cannot ignore anymore. You have many of the European unions who are not requiring vaccine passports, but immunity passports.
Yeah,
and so the United States is the sole outlier, and that's not because we're superior in our data collection or knowledge at this point. In fact, we're inferior compared to some of these other countries.
Wow.
But now you start hearing Fauci earlier this week said, you know, you may have some immunity from prior infection. Well, but then they're so strong on, but vaccines, it's like, yes, the vaccine is incredibly safe and efficacious at preventing severe disease and death. Absolutely. But just because you support one doesn't mean you can't support the other.
Less mandates, more humanity. Let's deal with people with a degree of grace that we have, that we need in the country in order for the country to get past this. Her name is Nicole Sapphire. The book is Panic Attack, and we continue tonight. She's going to give us some doctor's orders. Stick around. It's Radio Night Live. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, vice chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best, period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970 The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later,
Extortion 17 requested permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Taguig Valley.
I saw a flash. You seen a flash? Anybody out there? We have a fallen angel. A fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 17, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 17, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com. Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard. Carl Jackson is next on AM 970, The Answer. Once more from New York, Radio Night Live, here's Kevin McCullough.
We're speaking with Dr. Nicole Sapphire, author of the book Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. She's one of the OGs here at Radio Night Live. And Dr. Sapphire, I haven't asked you this for a number of months, but we've got a couple of minutes left. I'm curious if you could give us some doctor's orders for this week. Is there something that that will help us take this life a little bit better this week, especially now that we're in the back to school frame of mind and dealing with the realities of a more stressful schedule? I don't know about you, but something happened with my schedule around September. I hadn't had public events in 18 months and I had 7 in 9 days or something like that. It was crazy. But what are your thoughts tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everyone's a little bit busier now. I mean, last September was different. There were still a lot of COVID restrictions. But still, the media is making it nearly impossible for us to live a sane life, even with our busy schedules. So when there's all the talk about the boosters, and now Pfizer is coming out talking about data in 5 to 11-year-olds, let's just try to remember not to buy into the hype. While you still may get a cold or even a minimal mild flu, if you were to be exposed to this virus again, that vaccine is giving you the best shot at staying out of the hospital and saving your life. So have trust in that. And when it comes to kids, the headlines this week is not that the vaccine is approved for 5 to 11-year-olds. Pfizer has just put out a press release demonstrating in their data that this lower-dose vaccine is able to produce antibodies. That's all that happened. Now, will there be conversations about vaccinating younger children? Absolutely. But until that data is there, you will never see me sign off on it until they release that data. And luckily, the FDA wouldn't either. So we're not there yet.
You know, every single one of the medical all-stars that come on the show, Dr. Sapphire, said the same thing. Show me the data. Show me the data. Show me the data. It's one thing to have talking heads on TV, you know, saying, oh, this is great. Everything's perfect. It's another thing to actually get into there and see it. And I appreciate the fact that you and Dr. Siegel and Mr. McCary and everybody else that's been here has said, wait a minute, we're just because we're medical professionals doesn't mean we're signing off on whatever's just being handed down from the edict on high. And I think my listeners are particularly grateful for that. Nicole Sapphire, Panic Attack, get it, know it. It's important that you read it, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. Dr. Sapphire, always appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.